spend more, do send more, do send more. They tell you what they know. Do send more, do send more, do send more. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Juice and Mo podcast, recording this late, a couple hours after the Kings get a much-needed victory in dramatic fashion. Got off to kind of a rough start late in the second quarter when the Kings had it within two, and then Miami went 15-2 push. We're up by 13 at the half. Yeah, it wasn't pretty. And then the Kings came out in the third quarter. De'Aaron Fox playing like an absolute certified dog. He was ready to go. Keon Ellis ready to go. And the Kings got it going in the third quarter. De'Aaron Fox with 16 in the third. And then it was a battle down the stretch in the fourth quarter. Back and forth. We saw big time shots and some dramatic moments in this game. Morgan Reagan.
Ogier wide open for three. Score the basket. That's huge. That could be a dagger. Keep that one in mind. A minute 14 to go. Terry Rozier from the corner makes it 108-103. Here's DeRozan straight away. He'll try for three. He hits the line drive triple, and he was fouled. DeMar DeRozan coming on down the stretch here at clutch time, delivering once again, just like he did Saturday night in Toronto.
This guy is insane. It was 108-103 after that Rozier three, and I went, great, over, great. We're going to have to be doing night chat, talk about another Kings loss, coming back home. People are going to be dooming and glooming.
Sure.
And then DeMar DeRozan, calm, cool, collected, comes down the court, and you're seeing, why is he launching a three with 20 seconds on the shot clock? It looked like a crazy shot. He hit it and won. Why would he take that? Well, guess what? This is why we got replay, everybody. You take a nice close look. You know what this pro, this vet, this certified bucket getter did? He felt Tyler Hero's arm on him. So you know what he did? He said, I'm shooting that shit because they're going to call a foul. And sure enough, they called a foul and he made the shot. Clutch, smart, high basketball IQ. How about DeMar DeRozan?
I need to see that replay. Because you mentioned it to me. And I was like, I didn't get to see it like that. I was probably just screaming in excitement. Yeah. And by the way, when I do scream with excitement and then I realize like Mike Bibby's sitting next to me, it's so weird because I'm like, oh my God, I used to do this with him, except on the basketball floor. So then he just laughs when really he's like, she's weird. But that moment was just like one of those moments that just got me up, got me so excited. And I didn't even notice him being that basketball mind in that situation.
And I'd have to, I haven't seen that like close up replay on social media. They showed it on the broadcast, the one you work on. I don't know how you can see it.
Because I was probably up and excited in the studio.
So they showed it and I saw Hero's hand on him. Like, that's why he launched it. He wasn't just launching a 3-pointer with 20 on the shot clock just to be like, oh, home run play. No, he felt Hero's arm on him and just went for it. Hero tried to pull it back at the last second, but that's classic DeMar DeRozan. He knows how to play this game. So that made it 108-107 after the game looked like it was over. That happened like 3 seconds later. Hero has a miss. Then the other end of DeMar DeRozan decides to go a little ISO mode again on Hero. And man, Tyler Hero stripped him.
Oh,
DeMar DeRozan fouls him out of frustration. And I'm like,
can I talk about that one too? Because as soon as he got the ball and he was going down, I said this to Mike and Kyle in the studio. I was like, oh no, I don't like this. And the reason I didn't like it is you could tell the way that he was hunting, it was screwing with his tempo, with his momentum, the way that he was going to attack the ISO and do something, you know, turn around, jumper, whatever in the mid range, whatever he wanted to do with that matchup. I liked it, but it was like he almost got too excited for it and where he just needed to find a different way to just still have that same aggressive mentality just with that one play that I noticed.
And then he fouled Hero immediately. So Tyler Hero goes to the line, makes both free throws to make it 110-107. Kings with the rock.
How will the Kings are down three with 37.8 to go. Out of the timeout. Inbounds to DeRozan. He's on the left side of the floor. Double team against him. Ball poked away. Monk has it. Goes for the vicious hammer. He had his left shoulder leaning toward the rim. wound up and windmilled with the right hand to make it 110-109. 27 seconds and counting. The Kings don't have to foul. They have to have a defensive stop. Butler has it in his hands. Who else? Yet to put it on the floor. Now starts a move toward the baseline. Up fake against Keegan. Has picked up the dribble. Turns, launches, bounces once. No good. Ball goes out of bounds. I think it's Sacramento's ball, but there's no clear indication.
It was Sacramento's ball. And guess what? Shout out to Keegan Murray playing some great defense against a guy in Jimmy Butler who can get buckets and did get buckets in this game. Great contest. Didn't foul Butler.
Good defensive possession.
Got the ball back. But on that play prior, a little scramble situation where the ball ends up getting from DeRozan to Monk. I love that Monk went up and was like, I'm jamming this shit hard because he saw Bam right there.
Yeah.
And if Bam comes up, he may try to block that.
Sure.
Go hard and Bam Demon try to contest it.
Yeah. It was beautiful. And it was, talk about being confident with your ability to just throw it down. Because, I mean, we've seen, again, talk about. You think about when someone gets excited, just like I was talking about the other possession with DeMar, it can kind of screw with your momentum or sometimes it comes off your hand wrong or whatever. And it was just with so much force. It was so dead on. It was so perfect. Great, great bucket.
So the Kings have the rock. They call a timeout. And then we get to this.
How will the Kings play this? It'll be Monk who will put the ball in play from the near sideline in the front court. Keegan Murray, right elbow extended. Sabonis, top of the three-point circle. Fox, left angle, three-point range, and out on top, inside the logo, is DeRozan. Here we go. Inbounds pass goes to De'Aaron Fox. Working on the rookie Larson. Drives, spins, fires. Heel of the rim, no good. Scramble, rebound, Sabonis. Put back, score it! 0.7 seconds to go! He had a desperation put back in Toronto that resulted in the Kings getting to overtime, and this time he may have just won the game. Timeout taken by Spoelstra, 0.7 seconds to go. Kings now lead by 111-110. Sabonis with the amazing putback off the Fox miss.
And that was ultimately the game winner, called by the icon, the legend, the voice of the Kings, the G-Man, Gary Gerald. Holy shit. I loved it, too, because De'Aaron Fox thought he had a mismatch on the rookie. He got a great look.
He did, with three awesome guys look coming up on him, too.
And, you know, it was long. It ended up being going long, back rim. And then Sabonis, hell of a job to get that rebound.
The timing.
Fall away with the left.
The finesse.
Oh!
It was beautiful.
111-110, your final. The Kings now 4-3. They went 3-1 on this road trip, coming back to Sacramento, and they get a rematch with those pesky, tough Raptors who beat them in overtime the other night and almost beat the Denver Nuggets tonight. So insane stuff there.
Yeah.
Close game down the stretch. So much to go over with this game, Morgan Reagan. Did you like that recap?
Yeah, I did.
I felt like it was a good, like,
I know.
We had to, like...
Deuce came into the show going, I got something different for you. Yeah. I'm like, okay, what are you going to do, bud? And he makes the fire alarm go on, which was the same. So I was like, okay, what is he going to do different? Dropping a G-Man highlight. I was like, okay, he's done this before. But the way you presented it...
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Do you want to hear a little DeMar DeRozan with G-Man after the game?
Yeah.
Let's hear what DeMar had to say to the G-Man.
Debo slips on a headset. I'm on the opposite side, way up here. Appreciate you, man. My goodness, the drama of this one coming down the stretch. We're just mentioning that this is, and you wouldn't be here to appreciate this, but this is only the sixth time in 37 visits to South Florida that the Kings have produced a victory. That's pretty significant from Sacramento standpoint.
Oh, wow. I'm glad I'm a part of the, trying to turn that around.
I don't even know where to begin in this one tonight. You go down by 15 early in the third quarter and then manage to fight your way back. But then the 9-point lead is cut down and you have to play from behind again.
Yes.
What did it take to make this happen?
We had to come together. You know, we kind of got on each other halftime. You know, just saying they was more aggressive than us. You know, we got to play with a sense of urgency, and that's what we did the second half.
What has it been like for you trying to develop a relationship, a rapport, a charisma with new teammates?
It's been great, man. It's been fun, you know, especially been in the league so long, you know, I don't take no moment for granted. You know, it's an honor to still be playing at a high level in my 16th year, and guys allowing me to be myself. You know, it's great, you know, from the coaching staff to the organization to the fans to the players.
I don't know if it makes any special significance to you, but you equaled Chris Webber for scoring 20 or more points in the first 7 games as a newcomer to the Kings. That's impressive from our standpoint. How do you look at numbers like that?
I mean, it's amazing. Whenever your name in the same category as the greats, it's always an honor. You know, it's a difficult thing to do. It's definitely something not easy, especially making a new transition with a new team. So I'm definitely honored.
And quickly, let's think ahead now. You go home for 2 games and then out on the road for another road back-to-back. What does this team need to do to continue its push to become a legitimate threat in a very tough Western Conference?
Stay resilient. Every single night is going to be a dogfight. You know, as long as we stay resilient, it's going to be tough moments, tough games. And tonight we show how resilient we could be.
And certainly resilience was shown by Sabonis. He got the putback for the overtime Saturday night in Toronto. Tonight the putback leads to this opportunity for a game winner. That's great stuff.
I mean, amazing. I'm glad we can sit on this long flight back home off a win.
Appreciate your time. Thanks so much, DeMar.
Yeah, appreciate you.
All right.
There's G-Man with DeMar DeRozan, who had 26 points in this game, 10 of 18 shooting that big three and one late. And something he said, and I know Sabonis said to Mark Jones and Katie Christensen on the broadcast tonight after the game, was like, dude, halftime, we got after each other a little bit. And I love that shit because they needed to get a little more inspired, and they responded in a massive way.
Yeah, that it's cool that you can have that type of locker room, that type of relationship with one another to understand, like, getting on each other is out of love and being competitive. And not everyone can do that. Sometimes personalities take it personally and will get butthurt, but I just feel like with a lot of these people on this roster, egoless, as we always say, it's great that that helped them and feel inspired. I mean, look how freaking De'Aaron Fox came out in that third quarter.
Amazing. And, you know, it was interesting, like, going back to that first half for a second, Miami kind of reminded me of what Toronto did to Sacramento. They were playing physical as shit. The Kings didn't look totally comfortable. They weren't knocking down threes again, and you're going, oh, my God, is this a theme? Sacramento in that first half was 3 of 14 from downtown, and, of course, Miami was making everything.
Everything. Whenever it feels like the theme feels like lately, there's one guy that just starts going off, and that alone becomes inspirational or whatever you want to call it. Gives the energy to the opponent. And
it was Tyler Hero tonight at
the
start.
It was Tyler Hero. It was Garrison Matthews in that Atlanta game. Mm-hmm. It was Boucher in that last Toronto game. And so Hero tonight. And it just was frustrating to see because then you didn't see the urgency. But what's so great is that adjustments ended up being made.
Yeah. I mean, the guys immediately, the first half, you had the rookie Larson, who was 3 of 5, by the way, on the night from downtown. He had 13. Duncan Robinson came in knocking down threes.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
like, God. The biggest adjustment to me is they started running these guys off the three-point line, like crowding their space. I'm sorry. I want Duncan Robinson to put the ball on the floor because here's the one thing I do know. He can hit tough shots from the perimeter, make him put it on the floor. Tyler Hero, he's a super talented offensive player.
Yeah, he is.
Very creative. You have to crowd his space. And Larson, hey, I get it. You didn't know the guy, young player, two-way guy. Well, now you do. You got to make sure that they are not getting open threes. And it's tough. You have to work your ass off. But the response in the third quarter by the guy you mentioned, De'Aaron Fox, I don't know what was said at halftime, who said it. It doesn't matter. That guy came out on both ends with an aggressiveness like, hey, it's time to wake the fuck up. I'm here. You guys coming with me? And everybody was with him.
He was so active, so aggressive. And you just said it, on both ends of the floor. And whenever a star player, best player does that on a team, it's going to be contagious. But I felt like De'Aaron was just so determined. And that determination could lead to so much success. And the success that we saw was putting more points on the board and was just deflating for the Miami Heat in the beginning of that third.
Yeah, he ended up having a monster third quarter. He had 16 points in the quarter. For perspective, Miami as a team had 17. So De'Aaron almost outscored him by himself in the third quarter. Sacramento outscored Miami 37-17. And an early like season stat that you guys showed on the post game tonight, third quarter point differential.
Oh, yeah.
The Kings are plus 6.6 in third quarters this season. They used to have shit third quarters.
Yeah.
So it's good to see him plus 6.6 tied with Oklahoma City for the best in the NBA. Now, there are definitely things to clean up. And I think the one early theme we're seeing is like, look, teams are going to go on runs in a game. Sure. Mm-hmm. But this is something we talked about last year, and it's rather obvious. Like, you can allow a 10-2 push. Okay. But then you got to respond. And I was so disappointed with how the Kings finished the first half because this was a 2-point game, and then Miami takes a 13-point lead at the half. That 2-point game was with like 2:20 to go in the second quarter. And for Sacramento, it's like you have to lock in, especially with how fragile it seems like everything is when you're not knocking down threes.
Yeah.
That 13-point lead to me felt like 25 at the time.
Well, what's great is that it wasn't 25 because we've seen that happen before. And then how many times have we jumped on here season after season or game after game, whatever, and talked about, oh, man, if they just didn't let that, you know, 13-point lead balloon to 25. It's great to see that the Kings seem to be doing a much better job at I want to say stopping these runs. The runs happen. We don't want all the runs that happen the way that they're happening. Yeah. But exactly. It's the NBA. It's going to happen. It's how you respond. And you're seeing even some of those stats in that third quarter. And it's positive how the Kings keep adjusting not only to these runs, but also to start the second half.
Yeah, and to me, it starts on the defensive side of the ball. And it's like...
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Fox and Keon Ellis to start that second half were fantastic. We should rewind for a second. Kevin Huerter did miss his second straight game, battling an illness. Hopefully he's back on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We were wondering what the Kings were going to do with the starting lineup. You know, last game they started Doug McDermott. We were kind of confused by that. Well, tonight Mike Brown goes back to Keon Ellis. Doug McDermott actually doesn't play in this game.
Right.
So I thought Keon, who ended up playing almost 30 minutes in this game, was awesome defensively. And that pairing of him and Fox, especially when those guys are like relentless like they were to start the third quarter, it's deadly because Sacramento is so good when they're getting their hands on a ball and getting out in transition, getting stops, forcing turnovers. They're really tough to stop.
Hell yeah. I mean, they're just tenacious. They don't give up on that end. And then when you have that type of activity, it's not just, oh, we're going to be aggressive and give all of our effort. There's skill involved with these individuals when it comes to their defense. And, you know, for so long we've talked about the Sacramento Kings and having defensive individuals. You know, we talk about all the time the team defense being capable of doing things and helping out with some of the flaws. But ever since we got to see that opportunities with Keon last year, we saw it make an impact when it came to the perimeter defense. We saw it make an impact on the defense as a whole, and not just with our eyes, but truly with where they were ranked, even in the NBA, when it came to their team defensively. So yeah, Keon finished with those four fouls. You know, that's still something.
But he had those early. And that was another big thing is Monk had four fouls in the first half. I believe Keon Ellis had three at halftime.
You're right, he did.
And so... again, that's the adjustment is they were able to be aggressive and not get, you know, fouled out. I mean, that was another thing I was looking at halftime. I'm like, oh my God, Sabonis in foul trouble. You got Monk, you got Ellis. Like, this is not what you want at the end of the road trip, especially when Brown hasn't shown early in the season to like trust the guys off the bench. And those guys respond by playing aggressive. Shout out, by the way, you read the Keon's a little bit of his stats, 7 points. He also had three steals in this game and a team-high four deflections. Mm-hmm. God, that's activity. Play this guy. He's more than a situational guy, Brown.
Why are you...
I don't know.
Yeah, that
I'm
was
I'm fired
mean.
Up.
I know. Calm down.
You know, at halftime, they called each other out. That was me. I'm part of the team. I'm just like...
No, hey. You're just a broadcaster,
I think in some ways I'm part of the team. I think we're all part of the team.
I mean, we're all part of this team. Like, this is our team. That team gets paid millions. And we're not in that locker room.
I do this pro bono, you know? I do this free. You know? Out of the kindness of my heart.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We can continue to talk about Keon, but when are we going to talk about minutes distribution? Because I'm so excited about that.
We can, because we've been harping on this. But before we get there, I did have one question about the whole halftime call out. Who do you think was like the guy that...
Malik Monk.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So there's some people in our Discord who are like, oh, Fox got called out. And that's why he came out. Blah, 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 blah. Who, do you think an individual got called out, or was it just like, hey?
I doubt an individual got called out.
What if it was Keegan and they released the footage? It's like Keegan, the security
just
footage.
Ripping people.
Keegan throwing shit in the locker room.
You think this is fucking good enough?
Slaps Jaren in the face. Wake up! We're like, what the hell?
What? And
also, Keegan Murray.
What?
How many dunks did he have tonight?
Hello.
And he went hard at their...
Go left. Bop!
And guess what?
What?
Remember last game I looked in this camera and said, go hard?
He heard me. Yes.
He heard me.
Because we're part of the team.
Yes.
And I get it. Yep.
Anyway.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whoever it was, that's awesome. I mean, I would not be surprised if someone like Malik, who, by the way, Malik had a really good game too. It was good to see him. He had 12 points in this game, 6 of 11 shooting for Malik. Some nice floaters. And that dunk late.
Oh. Beautiful timing, beautiful finesse. I mean, again, just Malik having some of those big moments. Otherwise, the other person I would say, Debo, DeMar DeRozan.
What about him?
Speaking up at the half.
Yeah, but if he does it, he's more like that disappointed like parent, you know, where I don't look at him as someone that's...
No, here. He's competitive. When shit's going, he's competitive.
You're right.
Yeah, and he's just like, ow.
All he was seeing in the locker room, he's looking at all his teammates. They all look like Drake. And he's just like, let Foga go. Anyway.
No.
Minutes tonight. And we'll talk about some other players. But, you know, we've had this fascination with minutes. And, you know, I saw my guy Whitey Gleason put out a stat said, after last game, four Kings players are in the top 12 in minutes played this year. Keegan, De'Aaron, DeMar, and Nomas.
Yep.
We're like, God, go on for us the bench a little bit. So Keegan ended up playing almost 39 minutes tonight. But DeRozan was at 36, Sabonis 37, just under 38. Keon at 28, Fox at 37. I'm going to be honest, Morgan, better, not good enough. We got to get those
baby steps, dude. Baby steps. And you saw Jordan McLaughlin go in for 11 minutes.
That was good.
Alex Len for 10.
And Jordan, I thought, had some solid moments. Hit a three in the corner.
You can't just go like cold turkey and have a different way. I thought the adjustments to the rotations and the trust there, I thought was fantastic. And not to say that it can still improve. So then your guys are still not playing just shy of 40 minutes. But I think you do need to give love.
Mid-30s has to be kind of like the target area. Now, in this game, you're trying to win a close game down the stretch. There's going to be some nights. And you just don't want this to be something that happens every game, which it has.
Mike Bibby said when we were talking about this in the pregame, he's like, I wanted to play the whole game. Like, I wanted to be in the whole game. And I said, Mike, you didn't play any defense. and he's like, I know, but I played team defense. Yeah. But my point to him is like, the way that, for example, Mike, you're not De'Aaron Fox. You're not playing like that on both ends of the floor for 40 effing minutes.
Again, that's something that I reference our Discord a lot, because we have a very active Discord community that...
Love them.
They get unhinged sometimes, but we all love them too at the same time. And it's just like this live chat that we have going on right now with all these people. Oh, the biggest live audience we've had this season. Let's give them some love.
Give me a hell yeah.
Thanks, party people. Love a good Monday night win.
I think sometimes the people look at Fox and go, oh, he's coasting offensively. He's not doing that, not being aggressive. And I think at points, I hear you on that. I would say in the last couple of years, really in the Mike Brown era, I've seen less and less of that.
Yes.
And to me,
yes.
And it's like, why can't De'Aaron do what he did in the third? I'm like, you mean score 16 points and
play every quarter?
Yeah, like, that's... no one can do that. I just think there's so much pressure on him to guard some of the best guys, which he does. To me, he's one of the best defensive point guards in the league, if 100%. Not the best.
100%.
That can defend multiple positions. And then offensively, like, they need him to push the pace. Well, this year, you add DeMar DeRozan, you got Sabonis, you take some pressure off of him. So he doesn't have to go ham all the time. You need him, though, to have these moments where he does take over. I want him taking good shots. I thought for the most part tonight, he took good shots. Last game, when he was 0 for 11 from 3, I told Morgan after the game, I watched all 11 threes. I went, 4 or 5 of those were not good threes. And tonight, he had in the first half, he had a terrible one in transition. Yep. Where I'm going,
just one.
That can't happen. But this guy, watch him. And don't just stare at a box score. Don't just stare at what he does offensively. I want you to watch him defensively, how he does, how physical he plays with. So I just think that kind of gets overblown. Then he takes over like he did tonight. It was spectacular. 28 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists in this game on 11 of 21 shooting, 3 of 6 from downtown.
I loved it. I mean, not only when you look at that stat line, but you truly think about when his game adjusted and when he took over. And it's not like you were seeing just shit basketball from him necessarily in the first half or anything. It was more just like, oh, can we get more? And he's like, got it. I'll turn it on. Bing, bing.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
The other thing that I love about tonight's game is they fought through not only Miami's physical play and a deficit on the road at the end of a road trip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It would have been easy to pack it in. You know, at halftime, whatever happens, guys get heated. They come out, respond. No one's pouting and like on the bench going, oh, man, F this guy. It was like, no, let's get it together. They turn it on. But they also fought through, in my opinion, officiating tonight that was really bad. I mean, honestly,
yeah,
I thought, look, missed calls happen. I get that. These refs are human. They're going to miss calls.
Yeah.
And I like a physical game. I like how the game has been called, you know, at the end of last year. And at times this season, it's been a little more inconsistent. But when I look at this end of the game and I see 30 free throws for Miami and 15 for Sacramento, it doesn't match up to what I was watching. You know, Sacramento was being aggressive in the paint. In fact, they outscored Miami 54-38 in the paint. There was physicality. I saw Sabonis get fouled multiple times. I saw Fox. All these guys, you cannot tell me that Sacramento should only have been shooting 15 free throws. And I think sometimes this is what happens. Miami's got like the benefit of the doubt. They play physical. This is how they've operated as an organization for years. Heat culture and all that stuff. That's to their credit. They're known as being a good defensive team. That they get away with more shit. And, you know, they also are... Butler and Bam are just magicians at selling calls. So is DeRozan, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, Bam tonight, I'm just like, what is this flopping? That there, no one, you got grazed and you sold it.
It's part of the game.
I get it, but the free throw disparity tonight, I don't always harp on that because if you watch a game, it's like, well, yeah, did Sacramento attack? Were they aggressive? They did that tonight. And I didn't feel like the game was called equally on both sides.
Like, for example, you know, you see Sabonis getting knocked in the face several times, even though I felt like they were just basketball motions that happen with Bam and shit happens, right? But then talk about shit happens when that, I think it was a rebound that kind of flew over to Bam and Sabonis was right there. And then Bam tried throwing it behind him or something, like tried to throw it up like it was a shot, and Sabonis's arm was just there, and they just call a foul.
Yeah,
they call a foul on the floor.
Kings lost their challenge because Mike Brown challenged a blocking foul on
Jimmy Butler.
On Jimmy Butler, yeah.
Yeah, did you agree with that?
You know, it was tough because to me, I thought Jimmy beat Fox to the spot.
Yeah.
And it's such a bang-bang call. And like... That's what I think kind of gets overlooked with how challenges work is you have to like do this fast, really fast. And I saw Mike looking at his assistants like, do I call it? And I don't know what that conversation was like, but you know, he's waiting on his assistants in this row two to look at the film to tell him, yeah, challenge it. And I think when there's a lot, you're in a time crunch.
I know.
Sometimes you go with my guy and go, challenge it. I think it was. I don't know what they said, but I got to look at it.
But the other thing is, too, if they had just taken one more breath, they could have seen Jimmy was still on the floor. They could have waited like, just true. Like, you know, just true. What? Look at the play one more time. You know, maybe you say, no, it's questionable. No.
It's tough. I mean, the challenges are tough.
No, I'm not. I'm not acting like I would have gotten it right in that moment. I'm just more analyzing the situation.
And your feet don't have to be set in that situation. He beat him to the spot.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, he did. And I thought he was in a legal guarding position. You know, you have to watch to see if these defenders are like moving into the space of the offensive player as they're making their move. I thought he beat Fox to the spot. I mean, he was tough. It was close for sure.
And with charges, taking a charge these days, I think I remember that was something I always looked for. Like his feet aren't set. But the rules have changed of what is deemed a charge in so many different ways. So it's not always necessarily the feet just being set.
I needed to see a win like this from Sacramento, especially after how the Toronto game ended.
Yeah.
You know, Toronto, I think what we're learning, seeing them play the last few games, you know, they played it closed better against the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
lost that game. They beat Sacramento in overtime. And then tonight they had a lead deep into the fourth quarter against Denver. RJ Barrett missed a game winner that went in and out at the buzzer. So they're pesky, you know, but I'm still disappointed with it. Like the Kings had chances to just take over and win that game. I needed to see them respond in this way, and they did. And look, it's not like this road trip was full of juggernauts, but here's how I look at it. You can only play the games on your schedule. And for Sacramento, who has had a habit of maybe playing down to teams or losing leads and not taking care of business, for them to just have a 3-1 road trip, come back home 4-3, for a Raptors team that, hey, you're going to remember what they did to you, you have to show up.
Yeah. I mean, you have to show up, protect your home court, whatever, however you want to put it. There's no excuses of there's a back-to-back, there's... so much travel before. Oh, it's always so hard. The first game back from a road trip. None of that shit. Play disciplined basketball. I mean, you're seeing this style of play for the Sacramento Kings come together and mesh more and more and more. And what's so great is that it's not even like they need the chemistry to build when it comes to fighting for one another, the sacrifices. You know, you can always rely on their effort night in and night out. And I remember there being a time in Sacramento when you couldn't say that. And I know around the league, there's so many fan bases that have to say that about their teams. And it's just so cool that that's not going to be anything, no matter what game it is, it feels like.
And every game they play this year is really, like, the loss has been close. Like
mm-hmm.
they've been in a tough one against Minnesota, the Lakers game, the Raptors, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how they can grow from here, if they can develop some bench chemistry and get more production from the bench.
Yes.
We all know, like, they need it. Some interesting numbers after 7 games. Kings are 5th in offensive rating. They're 11th in defense, and they're 6th in net rating. So that's a really good start for this group.
Love it.
You'd like a few more wins based on that, but you'll take it at 4-3. And right now at the NBA standings, like, it is kind of just, I know it's early, it's bunched up, but like, look how many 4-3 teams there are in the West. Oh, Denver, Sacramento, Minnesota, Dallas, the Lakers, Houston, 4-3.
And the Lakers just lost to the Pistons?
Yeah, the Lakers lost to the Pistons tonight. How about the Warriors winning again? They've won 4 in a row. They're 6-1. Phoenix rallied back tonight. They're 6-1. OKC 7-0.
Yeah, the Warriors.
God, it's tough.
Warriors shit is so annoying sometimes.
Back to this Kings game. How about these splits in the first half, second half? So Miami was up 61-48 at halftime. Sacramento outscored them in the second half, 63-49. Sacramento shot 56% in the second half, 7 of 13 from 3, and De'Aaron Fox had 21 of his 28 in the second half. Other numbers, Sabonis, we talk about his game winner, 16 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists, outplayed Bam in the second half. Listen to his second half numbers. 9 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. In the second half.
Crushed it. I mean, just came out so strong. Came out, again, getting hit in the face and just being like, okay, got to fight through it. Got to keep playing my game. And I felt like he did. You know, whenever there's the two concerns or narratives going into this season, how the spacing was going to look. Like, how is that going to work with DeMar? And then it's always, because it's Domas, it's where's the true rim protection? Where's the defense? All these things. And what I love is that you see each game. I mean, Domas is just underappreciated. You see it all the time in every single game. Like, he doesn't make you doubt his size is fine. It's more like when you look at the size of the entire roster against some of these longer teams. But then when you do look at the fit for DeMar, you're just like, how would you not be able to fit in a veteran, you know, genius basketball player like DeMar?
And like DeRozan? I say, I think I can't wait to get a greater sample size because I'm still convinced that they're going to get hot from three and knock down threes again. They end up being 10 of 27 tonight, which isn't bad, 37%, but 27 threes in today's league is not many. End result, the Kings are still finding ways to win despite the fact that the three-point shot hasn't fallen, and it's because they're beyond efficient everywhere else. At the rim, mid-range, they're near the top of the NBA in efficiency, and they're getting to the free throw line a ton and making their free throws at 86% at the line again tonight, even on 15 attempts.
Yep. I love to see it. I mean, and like you said, even though they're not getting that, they didn't get there as much as we would have liked to see this game. I'll take the efficiency.
Look at Enforcer 2K9 on command. Right after I said that, says what's interesting about this Kings team is that we're getting outshot from three every game, but we end up beating everybody else in points in the paint. Yeah, and you just hope those threes can drop. It's like, is Keegan going to get hot? Like, Keegan's off to a slow start from three. Can Malik get it going? Can Trey? Kevin is going to help once he's back.
And you say Trey, and Trey was, what, just one of three? And even when he knocked down that one, it just felt good to see him knock down that one.
He took one really bad one.
I thought he took maybe two bad ones.
I think he hit that first one.
I didn't, but in some ways, I didn't care because I was like, okay, he's testing it out for the second one. And then third one, I was like, okay, we got to make sure we're like, not every three is created equal. But you think about the Kings coming into tonight. You had sent me this stat that they were shooting 21% on open threes.
Yeah,
that's insane. Like, you can't imagine that number staying like that, especially with the type of shooters that they do have on this roster. And I talked about it the other night, though, Deuce. I said, okay, if we go through 15 games and the shooting still looks like that, 21% from three, it quacks like a duck, walks like a duck. Whatever, like a duck, it's a duck. My point is that obviously then they do need to make sure they have more efficient shooters on this roster if that were to continue.
Keegan Murray, I want him to get hot from three so bad because I feel like all other aspects of his game this year have been great. Tonight, great example. I mean, seeing him attack the rim with force.
Oh, my.
Go get it, dude. That's the growth. I mean, and it was multiple times. There were no soft dunks from Keegan Murray in this game tonight when he had those three dunks. The rebounding, he ends up with six tonight. He had two offensive rebounds, but he's just battling. And then what he's doing defensively, he's one of the better wing defenders in this league right now.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, I don't know that it's talked enough about because, you know, he's just in his third year, but, like, he's defending some legit talent in this league. He defends multiple positions and he keeps getting better at doing it. So shout out to Keegan Murray for playing really tough, knock down some threes. And then all of a sudden I think that's really what's preventing the Kings from taking off at this point is like, they haven't had a stretch of games where they knock down threes consistently.
And the threes that we're talking about, it's not like, oh man, they're so heavily contested, they're not getting these threes. It's like, no, Keon had some opportunities in the corner tonight. What did he finish around three?
One and three.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about Keegan. You can go down the list, and it feels like most of the threes that are being generated are threes that, like, hey, an NBA shooter should be able to make that. So hopefully that's just something that can keep changing.
Speaking of threes.
Yeah.
How about Domas tonight? 2 of 4 from downtown. And
huge.
You know
one.
What? That they were down. It was 99-96.
Yeah.
Did not hesitate. Launched a three, tied it at 99. I'm like, whoa, not only is he taking threes this year and
big
making
threes.
Them, he's taking fourth quarter threes in a tight game. That was big time shit, dude.
I even liked when Alex Len was in and he took that one corner three. Like,
I'm with you on that.
I didn't think it was, you know, the best look. Maybe he didn't have, like, he could have gathered himself better or whatever. But I think it's the freedom to shoot the three because, you know, he's not going to just come down every single possession and chuck up a three. It's more like, no. He had his season, with Atlanta when he was shooting the three, shooting well from three. So it's like, there's something there. Just don't be afraid to utilize that tool.
So Sabonis is now taking 2.3 threes per game this year. He's at 50%. 50% after 7 games. But the rest of the three-point shooting, so Sabonis is leading the team at 50%. Doug, I don't know if we count it. It's only been 4 games. So let's go with the regulars. Herter at 37. Ellis, 35.7. So that's down. DeRozan, 35. Honestly, for DeRozan, that ain't bad.
Hey.
Malik Monk, 31. Keegan, 30. De'Aaron, after that 0 for 11, it's going to take him a while to get this one up. 29.8. Lyles at 25. Like, in my head, I go, that's going to go up. That's going to go up. You know, like, it just, to me, it's just a matter of time.
I agree.
Who's the leading scorer on the Kings this year?
The leading scorer?
Points per game.
I guess DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan's averaging 25 a game, doing it on 53% shooting.
Jesus.
De'Aaron's at 24. Sabonis is at 20. So three guys at 20. Sabonis, by the way, at 20 points, 13 rebounds, 6.4 assists this season, and he's shooting 60% from the field.
Damn.
Yep. So some good early season signs.
It's so interesting when you look at earlier today, and I think it was Chris Biederman that is on the ground there and put out like, oh, you know, Colby Jones is in a starting jersey and so is Isaac Jones.
No, he did not say that.
Oh, what did he say?
He said Colby Jones was in a black jersey, which indicated starters. And then people were like, Mike Brown, what an idiot. He started Dub last game. He started Colby tonight. And then I clicked on the video and I saw that Isaac was also.
Oh, okay.
Isaac was. Keon was. And Colby.
I just thought it was so interesting because you look at tonight's and some of the DMPs and even just Doug McDermott, who started last game and then didn't see a second. And then, you know, you go down the list of Colby and everyone else. But it is just so interesting sometimes how we perceive some of these things. But I'm just so glad that Mike Brown didn't overthink it and went back to giving Keon the starting opportunity while Kevin Herter is out.
And Keon has to play a role on this team. Like, I know he had those comments, you know, a few games ago after the Lakers DNP. That like, oh, it's kind of like a situational thing. I'm like, he's too important to like what you guys do out there not to play. And I understand there's going to be a balance. Even tonight, I was texting Morgan when Mike Brown took Keon out of the game and put Malik in to close. And I'm like, man, like this is such a tough decision in my opinion, because Keon has been so good tonight and so good defensively. But then you also go Malik's explosiveness and what he can provide. I mean, he had that big dunk late. So it's just going to be an interesting maneuver that Mike Brown has to deal with this year with all these guys that kind of play similar positions.
It's going to be adjustment for everyone. Mike Brown, the coaching staff, the entire team. And I just felt like the adjustments that they've been making have been great.
Nice win.
Nice win tonight.
We got more of the podcast in just a second. We should say that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Mother Restaurant in Sacramento.
Just ordered Mother to go on Wednesday. I might do some Mother tomorrow. I might just need some Mother in my life. But also, if you need Mother in your life, not only can you pregame with your mother before every single Sacramento Kings game, home or away, go in there, get 50% off all drinks, anything you need. But get this.
What?
Throughout November, any day of the week that you feel like going into Mother, you bring in a photo of your grandmother, your mother, dead or alive.
Yeah. Can we just also note how this was inspired?
How?
Because I made a dark joke about my dead grandma.
And Mike, who owns Mother.
And so Mike's like, hey, if they bring in a picture of their like dead grandma or mom or alive or dead, doesn't matter, we'll give them a discount. So my darkness is impacting your promotions.
I didn't
all
see it as dark at first because I'm like, oh, your restaurant's named Mother. I'm like, that's super cute. Yeah. And he's like, or is it? And I'm like, kind of funny. So anyway, bring in that photo. Get this at checkout after your whole meal. You get 50% off your meal. So I know. Thank you. Make sure to head on over to Mother.
Appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. Also, shout out to our friends of our Golden One Credit Union. Together, we are one. And Kings fans, this one's for you. Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. If you join today or tomorrow, you can enjoy exclusive Kings perks like up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online ticket portal.
What about the next day? Because you said today or tomorrow.
Well, just any, like, just
do oh, good. Today. Just making sure. Not only that, you can obviously save 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store. So you're getting all these perks at Golden One Center, but that's not it. That's not it. You also raise that puppy in the air and you go, oh, yeah, I'm a member. It's like you have the golden ticket. Scott Freshour sees you. Guess what he's going to do? Upgrade you to better seats. You're welcome. Just become a Golden One member, credit union member today.
Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. You need new windows on your house. You need new HVAC system. There's no better place to go than Northwest Exteriors. They've got experts that can make sure to come to your house and pick out exactly what will fit for your needs. You need energy efficient windows. Mm-hmm. Well, I think everybody does. Go to them because they will make the process so simple. You can go to their showroom, pick them out, try them out. They come to your place, do all the measurements, install them. It's a breeze.
We've had multiple listeners reach out to Northwest Exteriors and have good experiences. So if you're looking or even just like, I don't know, is this something I need? Just get a quote today. Make sure to reach out to Northwest Exteriors.
Yeah, check out their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
You may not realize it, but every minute of every day, you're enjoying your First Amendment freedoms. You can wear what you want, give out your opinion for free, even if it's unpopular. Listen to your playlist. You can put a sign out on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. You have the right to hang with a posse that thinks like you do. Tell the government what you think about its policies. They're the freedoms that let you be you. And they're all brought to you by the First Amendment.
Moving like a river in my soul.
Learn more at freedomforum.org.
Okay, chat.
Oh.
One of my favorite times of the podcast.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Especially after a Kings win where we come together as one and try to figure out who is the simply the best player of the game.
Well, I already know the answer because you and I discussed. So I love our answer, but I'm excited to see what other people say.
You could make a case for Malik. Make a case for De'Aaron with 16 points in the third. DeMar DeRozan, the big three and one. Sabonis, knock, knock, game winner, 16, 16, and 7.
Look, you got Sabonis was... or is player of the game.
Yeah.
You got Debo, Sabonis, DeMar, Saboner, Keon.
Well, I would like to proudly announce for the first time in simply the best player of the game history.
Yeah.
We're going with the whole squad tonight.
What? I already knew this.
Nine.
I love it.
Nine dogs play tonight versus Miami. Think about the dogs. They all made something happen tonight. You needed every one of them. They came through three games in four nights. DeMar had a moment. Fox had moments. Sabonis, Keegan Murray's defense. J-Mac hitting a corner three in transition. Even Trey getting on the action. And who could forget Malik Monk and Keon Ellis? These guys showed up. So tonight, the whole squad gets to simply the best players of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. Check out trustnorthwest.com.
I like it. They stayed together. They fought through adversity, and you saw them fight through adversity against a bad team with the Toronto Raptors. But then to see them do it tonight and then to actually end up with the result of a W, it was fantastic.
Let's give everyone here a big hell yeah.
Let me talk to you.
Wrong one.
Give me a hell yeah.
It is late on a Monday night after a Kings victory in Miami that happened hours ago, and you guys are hanging out with us as we talk NBA basketball. We can't say enough how much we appreciate you. Make sure to hit the thumbs up and make sure you're subscribed too. We're trying to push for 18,000 subs. Super chat from Oleg. Appreciate you. $5. Saying DeMar DeRozan 4-point play was the play of the game. Yeah, I mean, I would. Yeah, it's up there. I mean, this bonus game winner, he literally won the game with it. But yeah, I mean, you're down 108-103. I felt like the game was over after that three from Rozier. I thought it was done. And for DeMar to come down three and one, Stunning.
Just such a clutch moment, but then it was a powerful momentum shifter in a sense, like giving your team the confidence that it needed.
Also, shout out to Dave and Kramer, who became Deuce and Mo members on our YouTube page. Appreciate you guys all for being here tonight.
Hell yeah.
The poll question tonight, how are you feeling after this 3-1 road trip? 836 votes tonight.
Ooh.
Outstanding.
Okay.
Blah, should have been 4-0. And not bad.
Interesting choices.
57% of people who voted say outstanding.
I love that that's the answer after a win.
21% say, blah, should have been 4-0. 22% say not bad. The margin of error on this poll, 3 points. So we could be wrong. Not funny.
It's funny.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're funny.
Up next for the Kings, a couple of home games before they hit the road.
Yeah.
You got Wednesday, the Raptors come to town, and then Friday, the Clippers. The Clippers.
If you start with the Raptors, like we said, get shit done. Like, don't do what you did in Toronto, right? Figure it out. You have your game plan now. Do the right thing from the start, from the jump. You go to the Clips Friday.
Yeah.
At Golden 1 Center.
Yep.
I feel like they play so tough.
They do. They're now 2-5 now. They've gone in a little bit of a funk, but they play tough. They had a lead against Phoenix tonight. They led by as much as a dozen. I'm looking at the wrong game. Turnover deuce.
Yeah, what?
I was looking at the right game. I was thinking of Phoenix, and no, they played San Antonio tonight, and they won. In my head, I was thinking about Phoenix coming back on Philly. That's a turnover by deuce. Like, can we delete that?
Yeah, how did your brain even go? Like, I see it both there, but, like, we're talking Clippers.
No, but that's his fault over there. Put the right thing on the screen. No, just, you don't, you're going to let me look like an idiot like that?
What's his name?
Jeffrey.
Why? Jeffrey?
Yeah.
Weird.
With a G.
Oh, so God. Sense, what right? A dick.
All right. So the Clippers, you mentioned they are pesky. They are now 3-4.
There after we go.
A win against San Antonio
when
tonight.
When you said 2-5, I was like.
Well, I thought yes. Just shut up. It happened. The Clippers beat San Antonio tonight 113-104. Norm Powell. With 23 points tonight. James Harden had 17, 8, and 4. Zubats has been killing it this year. They are giving him more touches. He wasn't super efficient tonight, but a big double-double of 17 and 13. Amir Coffey off the bench. Must have had some espresso tonight. He had 21.
Talk about a team with some size. You know, you think about someone as tough as Zubats and what he can do in the paint. And it could be what?
That's a challenge with Sabonis. Yeah,
absolutely. And taking Sabonis out of his game is always what worries me, because I think so much rely so much on Sabonis. But what's so great is that they do have the other weapons, that they just have to make sure that they just don't let a team like the Clippers go off on them from beyond the arc. And then also find a way to dominate in the paint with Zubats. You know, like
They're just pesky defensively too, because they switch everything. We saw in the preseason, like they designed a team post Paul George and with Kawhi out, that's going to go out there. And, you know, it's weird because you have like the James Harden dynamic. And sometimes when he's off the floor, they flow a little better offensively because there's more movement, but defensively they communicate well. It's going to be a tough game on Friday night. But before we get there, we got Wednesday night against the Raptors, who lost tonight against Denver 121-119. We mentioned that earlier. I want you to play a game. Remember Chris Boucher last game crushed the Kings. He was simply the best player of the game. How many points do you think Chris Boucher had tonight against the Denver Nuggets?
I'm going to guess 0 threes and like 5 points.
He did have 0 threes. He was 0-for-1, had 2 points.
Oh, my God. What is his problem?
Abaji tonight still had a good game. 16 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. So solid. Yep. RJ Barrett, who killed the Kings, he had 16 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds. Struggled shooting 5 of 21 in this game. 2 of 11 from 3. But you know what I like about RJ this year?
What do you like about RJ?
In the games I watched, like, he's making smart decisions with the ball, handling the ball, getting paint touches. I don't know. It's just
he's in a role right now, especially where he has to do so much more. You know, like he can't just play off the ball. I agree.
Grady Dick had 26, so he's on a tear.
He has been on a tear.
So yeah, the Kings killers last game. Boucher had two, as I mentioned. Yeah, even Battle, who had like a good game for against the Kings, had five.
Dude, and good for Davion just in that starting role right now, like also contributing.
Davion took that matchup against Sacramento personal, man.
He should.
He was awesome.
How would you not? I loved it.
But you're right. Like Wednesday has to be. There's always this thought, and I've never totally got it. It's like the first game after a long road trip is always so tough for teams. It's like I feel like for good teams, it's not. I don't know.
Right. Like, That's my point. You're just a disciplined team. Yeah, you figure it the fuck out.
There's going to be some nights you have to fight through shit. Yep. Like, you can't tell me that this game tonight, final game of road trip against a physical Miami team, was like supposed to be easy. It wasn't. So you had to kind of fight and claw. And I think Wednesday against Toronto, like, there's no surprises.
Yeah.
You saw what they had. Are you going to match them? And being at home, I think it's so important for the Kings to establish some home court like dominance this year. I'd rather the Kings be well over 500 at home and then like 500 on the road. You know, because the last couple years, it's always been like, are they kind of just better on the road than home? Like, I'm sick. I want some home court dominance.
I hated seeing some of those numbers, especially what was it, defensively or offensive? I mean, just whatever it was like, wait, why aren't you feeling inspired or special at home? I just didn't understand it. So hopefully, I don't know, it changes with new players and everything.
They have to get on some hot streak. And this week's not going to be, the next week's not going to be easy. You've got the Raptors Wednesday, Friday the Clippers, Sunday the Suns in Phoenix, Monday on the second half of back-to-back the Spurs. You mentioned this. The Kings have a lot of back-to-backs this month.
Dude, I think it's six.
That's insane.
And then it's seven with the first, like going into the first weekend of December, the first week of December. And I'm like, because I just think about our schedule and how a back-to-back affects me. And so then I go with the Kings and I go, that many in 1 month is absolutely exhausting for me. And I am part of the team. Remember, I'm part of the team. We're doing that.
Oh, now you are?
Yeah, I'm with
it. Must be nice. What do you think about what the league did tonight? They literally every NBA team played tonight and they had games start like, 10, 15 minutes apart the entire night because no teams are playing tomorrow. And can I just say selfishly, I am so glad there's no NBA basketball tomorrow.
Same.
Yep. I'll never forget like the Kings were playing election night 2016 and like it was just so distracting. Everyone's like checking their phone, seeing what's happening.
Yeah,
we can take tomorrow off.
Yep.
And honestly, I wish we took Wednesday off too. But I like the fact that they just jammed all these games and it's like, let's do it every 15 minutes.
I love it. I love that just social media wise, like seeing all the different clips all night long, I was just kind of like, this is cool.
Cleveland beat Milwaukee again tonight. Came down to the wire.
Giannis
didn't play. Cleveland is now, is it?
No, Milwaukee. I want to know what Milwaukee is.
Well, I was going to lead with the team who actually won, who's 8-0.
Yeah, well, I figured that.
Kenny Atkinson, man. Great job.
What is Milwaukee?
Whoa. 1-6 now. They're 1-6. What's Milwaukee going to do? Like, I just don't know what their path is.
Their path is to trade Giannis to the Warriors.
Dude, I swear.
Warriors don't even need Giannis. Warriors don't even need Giannis. Look at them right now. Just like fucking killing it with everybody.
I think we're going to learn more about the Warriors coming up here. And I'm not trying to take away from like, because I'd be saying the same thing. Like if the Kings were 6-1 right now, I'd be like, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're just playing the games on their schedule. The schedule for them, you could argue, has been pretty favorable.
Yeah.
But again, they also played three games without Steph and they've got a new group. So I don't like taking anything away. I just don't know. Like, look at the schedule after tonight. So they're 6-1. They played Portland, Utah, the Clippers, New Orleans twice, banged up, Houston, and then Washington.
They're getting the dubs, though,
and,
dude.
And that's what you have to do. I'm not. But, like, I've also, I just feel like there are times, and they started 5-1 last year. The year before that, they got off to a rough start. But they started 5-1 last year, and then everyone's like, see, they're good again. They're championship contenders. And for me, I'm like, I'm interested to see how they look this next week when they go at Boston,
yeah,
at Cleveland, at OKC, Dallas, and then they got Memphis. Like, it's just, this is when it just gets, okay, like, how good are they?
Will Steph be back? Do we know?
Steph came back tonight.
Oh, he did come back.
He came back tonight, had 24 points. But
I watched some of that game. I didn't even notice him.
I mean, you were busy.
I know. Yeah, yeah. You're
watching Sacramento.
That's just funny.
You're on a broadcast, so.
That's true.
And let's see. Oh, let's bring up their game real fast. They won 125-112. Buddy Hield had 20 points off the bench again, dude. This guy is on a heater right now. Like, he's averaging 22 a game. Isn't that insane? He's shooting 50% from three on, like, high volume, 52% from the field. I think the Warriors, I don't think we should be surprised that the Warriors could be competitive this year. But
I'm not surprised about that.
I don't think, like, in my head, like, again, early season standings, was it all matter? I'm not going, hey, man, I actually think they could finish near the top of the West. I think what they're proving right now is, like, all right, like, they're people who maybe counted them as a team that won't even make the play-in, they could definitely be a play-in team. And, like, if
as long as everything Steph
broke,
Curry.
If it broke right, could they get six?
Well,
I wouldn't predict it.
But here's the thing. As long as they have Steph Curry, the conversation can continue. It's just so true. Because even when Steph Curry was out the other night, they're still finding a way to grind out and get a W. I don't give a shit who it's against.
Yeah.
And then you think about this whole situation with Milwaukee, and it does make you curious, like, oh, could they get that done? Now, when I say that, if people know Giannis is on the table, there's going to be so many different options thrown at Milwaukee where, like, you know, would it even make sense? Like, do the Warriors really make sense? Or is it something like you were saying where it's like, oh, OKC with all these picks and maybe some pieces, but I don't know why you'd break up what's probably working for you there. So,
man,
but they always have picks.
Yeah. It's not, but if it could take them to new heights, because you're right. It's like, are they good enough? Is a team like OKC just, are they good enough as it stands right now to win a championship this year? I mean, I think you could. We have to see it all come together. They haven't been healthy yet. Could they do it in the next couple of years? But some GMs are like, they're waiting for that moment to pounce. And if someone like Giannis becomes available and you have the ammunition to go get him, because that's the other thing you don't want. If you're like a team like OKC or another team, you don't want him coming west.
Mm-mm.
Damn.
It's an interesting situation when they are so bad. So we'll see.
But I think Golden State could be a threat too. But I mean, Sam Presti, it seems like it's just waiting for this specific moment. They've been accumulating things, and maybe what they've been able to do with their draft picks has gone better than they thought. And it's like, wow, they've got these assets. And like, if they had to sacrifice one of their young talents and picks to go get Giannis and think that's the missing piece. Woo. It's insane.
We would be live instantly.
Could the Kings get in on it, huh? Well,
no.
Can you come up with a Giannis to Sacramento trade?
No, there's too many other options out there. So no.
Okay.
That's why it's important to have assets all the way through.
Yeah. Do you think this is something that, I don't know. I guess it really depends how bad this goes for Milwaukee. But if this continues where it's like they can't get out of this, they're not firing Doc. I mean, shouldn't have fired Mike Budenholzer, who has won like well over 60% of his games as an NBA head coach. He's a great coach.
You say that they're not firing Doc.
There's no way. What's it going to do? They can't. Right. Like, there's just it's a trade. They have to make a trade. Yeah. And it's not. They don't want to trade Giannis. I mean, Giannis, though, holds power. And if he was like, you know what? I'm out. Like, I want to be gone. Then all of a sudden, Dame's stuck in Milwaukee with nobody.
Grass isn't always greener.
Oh,
Grass isn't always greener.
I saw someone joke about how like bad, you know, Dame wanted to go to Miami, and what if it was Giannis who ended up getting there, and then Dame stuck in Milwaukee. I've never been to Milwaukee. I'm sure it's great. They have a great arena.
I actually
want to go to Wisconsin. I want to go to a Packers game.
I did see on one of the most recent Real Housewives of Salt Lake City that they took a trip to Milwaukee, and they went to a Bucks game.
Yeah.
But they went around town too, and I was like, oh my gosh, no, cute.
And by the way, let me rewind. I'm saying that not because I'm disparaging Milwaukee. I just know there have been reports that Dame wasn't exactly excited about, like, the city of Milwaukee at first. You want to go to Miami?
Yeah.
I have no problem with... we're in Sacramento. I will hype up Sacramento forever. Love as Sacramento. An underappreciated place. Yeah. So no shots at Milwaukee.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, because I think even when I was asking Mike Bibby about a few places, he praised OKC, Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and there's people around the league who are like, OKC sucks. Uh-huh. But then I know people... We know someone who lives in Oklahoma yep. City who goes, it's Love. Awesome. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's how I look at it.
I agree.
Okay. Some final thoughts. Kings are 4-3.
Some final thoughts.
4-3 is so much better than 3-4.
Love hearing just that record.
You know?
Yep.
You look at the standings, you're like, oh, 3-4.
That's nice. No, it is. And I like the product. I like what we're seeing out there. And I do. And the cool thing is I feel like they can keep building off of what they have.
Yeah.
So it's encouraging.
Yeah, they still have flaws. We know this, but I think they are capable of even playing better than they showed tonight. And so I'm eager to see what it looks like when they get home. My final thought. Next couple of days, next week could be a little stressful for people.
Yeah.
And so I hope that we could provide some distractions on Wednesday night after the Kings play the Raptors. And you know, we'll make sure to drop content. Yeah, it's obviously a massive day in the United States and honestly something that has worldwide implications. So I hope everyone out there who can vote goes out there and, you know, makes their voice heard and, you know, just try to take some deep breaths
yeah.
throughout the day. Because I know
treat each other well.
These type of things can be very stressful. And like, you know, I'm not going to start breaking down the counties.
You don't have a magic wall behind us to break it all down.
No magic wall behind me. I wish I had a magic wall behind me.
We'll get you one for Christmas, bud. Oh, a map just comes down.
Couple of things to watch in the NBA's Western Conference. We'll keep an eye. Sacramento 4-3. It's interesting. Let's go to Milwaukee. Look at the Milwaukee area. This is a very big issue. Wisconsin, what's going to happen with the Bucks? Giannis Antetokounmpo. He may look to flip. Could he flip to Florida? Miami, Dade County, could be interesting. But don't forget, you come back to California. Not a lot of people talking about San Francisco, Bay Area, big area. Giannis has ties to Central California. Could Giannis... would he want to go join Steph Curry? That could reshape the Western Conference. Remember, Golden State, they're trying to maximize year Steph. Could they flip that and take control of the West with that type of move? That's something we'll be watching tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Having a live John King for you.
I just wish we actually had a magic wall for you so you could do this all the time. Maybe if we got one of those things in a projector.
Oh, my God, please. Please.
I mean, I don't know why we wouldn't be able to do that. Nope, there's no magic wall yet. Calm down. There you go.
Can you believe it?
No. Thank you.
Giannis.
Good night.
Seriously, we appreciate you guys so much for being with us tonight. Our largest live audience of the season, let me tell you.
Give me a hell yeah.
You're so funny.
After the show, do us a favor. Comment below. Talk some Kings. Hit the thumbs up. Subscribe. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys so much. But we... guts to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. Thanks for being here.
See ya. Wrong one.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
You may not realize it, but every minute of every day, you're enjoying your First Amendment freedoms. You can wear what you want, give out your opinion for free, even if it's unpopular. Listen to your playlist. You can put a sign out on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. You have the right to hang with a posse that thinks like you do. Tell the government what you think about its policies. They're the freedoms that let you be you, and they're all brought to you by the First Amendment. Moving like a river in my soul. Learn more at freedomforum.org.